Support for this episode comes from Signature Bank.
Hey, this is Gary Head at Signature Bank of Arkansas. 20 years ago, we set out to build something different, a community bank that knows your name, values relationships, and gives our bankers the authority to serve you the way that you deserve. From our first location in Fayetteville to now serving families, farms, and businesses across Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Harrison, Brinkley, and Jonesboro, we've grown, but our mission remains the same. Local, personal, trusted. With 210 passionate teammates and growing, we're proud to serve all of our communities, including through Banco C, our bilingual banking services in Rogers and Springdale. Whether you're starting your own business, buying a home, or planning for the future, Signature Bank is here for you. Call us today at 479-684-3700 or visit us online at signature.bank. And be sure to tell us you heard about us right here on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Searching for local businesses in Northwest Arkansas just got easier. From restaurants to roofers, boutiques to baristas, finditnwa.com connects you to the best local businesses with just one click. Discover something local, something great. Visit finditnwa.com today. Find it fast, find it local, finditnwa.com.
Today on I Am Northwest Arkansas, we're diving into an initiative that's not just changing lives, it's building them, one skilled trade at a time. Imagine 2,000 students donning hard hats and gloves, operating heavy machinery, welding, and designing structures all before graduation. That's the magic of Build My Future NWA. More than a career fair, it's a hands-on gateway to opportunity. Joining us are two of the key architects behind this powerful program, Joe Rollins from the Northwest Arkansas Council and Steve Turner from Multicraft Contractors. If you care about the future of work, education, and our region's workforce, you don't want to miss this episode. Coming up right after the intro.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I am your host, Randy Wilburn. I'm excited to be with you as always. I got two great guests here on the podcast. One person who I've been trying to twist his arm to come on this podcast for quite some time and who will remain nameless. But no, Joe Rollins from the Workforce Development Director at the NWA Council. Joe and I, we've connected a couple of years ago when I started working with the council. And I kept saying, Joe, I want to get you on the podcast. I want to get you on the podcast. He is finally here today, folks, and he has a great program to talk about. So I think we saved the best for last, if you will. And so I'm excited to have Joe on the podcast. And joining both of us will be Steve Turner. Steve is the business development manager at Multicraft Contractors. He is an operational leader and hands-on program driver for Build My Future. And so, gentlemen, it's great to have you both on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Hey, Randy, hey, no offense. I'm sorry it's taken so long. I'm looking forward to this. And what a better way to spend our time together than talking about, in my mind, what is probably the premier hands-on career education event in Northwest Arkansas. What a great way to spend some time.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you?
Randy, thanks for having us on. This has been a huge passion of mine and a group for the last 5 years. Went to an event up in Springfield and was just overwhelmed by the amount of kids and the impact that this event has on these students coming through high school. And it couldn't be a better way. I mean, in Northwest Arkansas, we need the workforce. So it was real easy to start forming this and getting this off the ground.
Yeah. Need, I think, is an understatement. We are in desperate position right now in terms of needing to educate, acclimate, and encourage this next generation of students to really want to get involved and look at alternatives to certain career paths that for the longest time have well-run paths. And, you know, the trades have unfortunately have taken a back seat to a lot of other sectors of industry. And I think now's the time where people are looking at AI and everything else and saying, you know what, maybe I need to take a second look at this area and look at the trades a little closely. There's nothing wrong with working with your hands. There's all kinds of opportunities. I'm excited about what this does for the young people and the opportunities and options that it gives them.
Well, and I'll add on, you know, with that being said, you made a comment about there are paths. And, you know, when I was coming up, I mean, I'm pushing that past 50 mark. So when I was back in school, you know, all our counselors and, you know, teachers were pushing college, college, college. And, you know, my parents wanted me to go to college. My dad was in construction and he wanted to do everything he could to push us not to take that path. Well, here I am anyway. But the really nice thing about this is the counselors and the teachers and the programs, the CTE programs and the CAS programs and these different programs throughout the state and throughout the country, really, that are identifying that the skilled trades is a good path because college isn't for everybody. College is great. I will never discredit college. College is awesome for some people, but it's not for everybody. So having the trades and showing these kids what they, you know, what we can build. They can drive down the street and say, yeah, I helped build that hospital or that school or that restaurant. It's just, it's a great experience. And like I said, I'm just glad that the counselors and the people in the school are really starting to push the trades more.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me just a little bit about how did you even hear about the program up in Springfield that you got to see, which became kind of a beacon of what you guys have created down here?
So Charlize Ruth, she works for the Associated General Contractors up in Springfield. She's been putting this on since 2017. And I went up, Brian McCaney, another guy that works with me or worked with me here, he's actually bringing students to this to Build My Future now. But Brian and I went up to Build My Future in Springfield and we saw, you know, almost 3,000 students come through and all the contractors from across the Springfield area. And within, I mean, they brought schools in from 2 hours out. That was their target. But it was just unbelievable to see the hands-on, the MSS or Missouri State, they had a group of students there that were building a bridge. So all these kids would build this bridge throughout the day. Multicraft in Springfield, they were doing welding simulations and different types of plumbing. There was people on scissor lifts and we went outside. There was people, the Department of Transportation was up there showing kids what it's like to, you know, showing them what it's like to drive through a course under the influence. So they were really, there was so many trades just explaining, you know, showing these kids. It just really hit home. It's like, man, Northwest Arkansas is a prime spot to have an event like this. So we just, Charlize was so good about giving us her roadmap. And I mean, she gave us the blueprint on how to do it. And that's what started it. I mean, we started laying out, talking, and I'm going to do a shout out to all the contractors here in Northwest Arkansas, because there is a great relationship between everybody down here. You know, we're all competitors on bid day, but we're all here for the same goal, and that's to build Northwest Arkansas and the state of Arkansas. And everybody just works together. And to this event, it was so easy to get kicked off the ground because everybody needs the help and everybody has the same goal. And when we go to Build My Future, everybody's hands-on and everybody dives in and is just working really hard to show these kids a good, you know, what we're about.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think you and I are kind of contemporaries in age, and Joe too, for that matter. But I think we can remember, I can remember what career fairs used to be like back in the day. It was a lot different.
Absolutely.
You'd probably go in with a coat and tie on. And you'd walk around and maybe take some swag off of a table or, you know, talk to somebody that's a representative for a company. And it was very just, it was very hands off. And this event is really hands on. And I want to just add an anecdote to this. I have three sons that went through the that have gone through Fayetteville High School. Two have already graduated. One is a sophomore. They've all been with Mr. Bradshaw, who is the shop teacher at Fayetteville High School, really big proponent for this type of program and a very hands-on instructor, just an outstanding person. And my boys, one of the biggest things that they looked forward to was going to this event each year. And it's been huge. And it wasn't just for the Chick-fil-A sandwiches that they got or anything, but they came home jacked up, just telling me all the different things that they got to do, the things that they got to touch and see, the people that they talked to, just the overall encouragement. And honestly, I was of the mindset that I wanted all my kids to go to college. I want them all to do a certain thing. Like every parent has a goal for their kids. But, you know, after really hearing them talk about it and then just having so many conversations with different tradespeople in the area that talk about the fact that we are losing quality trades people on a regular basis to retirement and sometimes to other careers, that it is necessary for us to put a full frontal assault in this area and create opportunities, because they do it in other countries. I mean, in Germany, you know, they have like high schools that just work on technical trades and that's all they do. And I remember growing up, we had Bergen. I grew up in New Jersey and we had Bergen Tech Community College. I mean, Bergen Tech, which was a technical high school. And if you didn't want to go to the normal high school that I went to, Teaneck, you could opt in to go into Bergen Technical High School. And that was your option to kind of go into the trades. And that was kind of frowned upon back then. And this was in the 80s. I mean, there were a couple of kids that wanted to do it. There were a couple of kids that wanted to do automotive stuff. But for the most part, people were like, I don't really want to do that. Now it's like, you guys are creating a new opportunity for kids to see the benefits of the trades and how there are so many different options for them to choose from. It's not just driving a dump truck. It's not just pipe fitting or doing some plumbing work or HVAC. There's so many different options today that kids can choose from, and they can still get the technical aspects of it because everything is computerized nowadays, and they can do a lot of the, you know, the real, you know, technical labor that's involved.
Well, and to add on to that, you know, you talk about how it used to be. It used to be construction was back-breaking, knuckle-busting. Just, it was hard, hard labor. But over the years, we have, with technology and just equipment and the computers, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where it's not that back-breaking, knuckle-busting. It's more, it's do things smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
So we have come a long ways from, quick story. My dad had me dig a bunch of tree wells up in Omaha, Nebraska. They were 5 foot by 5 foot by 5 foot. I did it with a shovel. And I come down here to work for Multicraft and found out what a mini excavator was.
Yeah.
I thought back to that day, I'm like, dadgummit, Dad, you had me digging holes when I could have had an excavator digging that and had it done in a third of the time.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know what, that was because he wanted me to work. And
yeah.
But it's not like that anymore. It's computerized. There's a lot of math involved with it. It's just a great career, and the stigma is not all bad anymore.
Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, even just the excitement that my son Nathan, who just graduated from Fayetteville High School just this past May, had for the project that they had, which was building a shed for a woman that really needed it. And they worked on it for the whole year. And I remember just him outlining just how they did everything from scratch to actually building that shed. And he was really proud of that accomplishment. And I was proud of him for, you know, finishing something that he started, right? And, you know, we all, like, your dad put you through one of those character building moments, but we all don't necessarily need to break a back in order to have a character building moment. So, you know, but it's cool. I mean, it's okay to do that. But I think there are certainly different ways, which, like, I think firms like Multicraft and others are starting to figure out, oh, there are other ways for us to engage with these young people and get them excited about what this job entails and what it's actually like to come in and work here 40 hours a week or more.
I've got to play off of that earlier conversation, because that's what this event does. It's a bridge between what students think a job might be and an actual informed awareness about what these jobs look like. And Steve painted the picture. Do we still need men out there working shovels every day? Absolutely. but there are also a plethora of other jobs that our kids really don't know are there. And the truth is, we've got to have them because, you know, Randy, last time we talked, it's always about the number of jobs that we have open and what can we do to solve that workforce problem. Well, we're still growing as a region by 30 plus people per day. Where are they going to live? How are they going to get to work? How are they going to use all of the utilities that it takes to make life function for us if we don't have men and women out there to do it? And that's what this event does. It puts our kids shoulder to shoulder with men and women who can tell an informed story, a real story about what does that daily work look like. But if we look at Build My Future as a kind of a transition between high school and what's next, that is the missing piece. As we look at all these innovative practices going on across the region, it's amazing to me that at the forefront of some of that, we're going back to our roots. And Steve told the story as well. And some of the most innovative things we're doing go back to our beginnings with mentoring, apprenticeship kind of work, working shoulder to shoulder with somebody. Unfortunately, guys, who looks kind of like us, probably has a few more gray hairs than some of the kids who they're working with. But they know the details. They know the ins and outs. And they can really create an awareness to jobs that are critical to our future going forward. So this is a bridge piece between what we think we know and what the reality is. Truth is, I wish we had these kind of events in more and more employable areas.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things I want to look at is you are able to capture a good portion of the marketplace. You welcomed over 2,000 students from 85 schools this year, which I think is an incredible feat. And so you guys should really be proud of that. I'm curious to know, and this is a question for both of you, what kind of feedback are you hearing from both the students and the educators about this event and why you got to keep moving this thing forward?
I'm going to jump in there first because Steve gets a lot of this feedback, but I will tell you from the businesses that I engage with, they think this is probably one of the best events that the council engages in just due to the number of partners that are engaged, certainly the number of students that are engaged, but it targets one of those major pillars that we've got to keep in our sights, and that's developing the next wave of our talent constantly. But Steve gets to work hand in hand with a lot of these contractors who are there, boots on the ground. And Steve, I know you have a lot of feedback to share.
Well, you know, you asked about the educators, but this year, this really wasn't, Build My Future, what really wasn't designed as a place to hire people. It was more of an awareness and, you know, an exposure. But what we're finding out every year, there are kids getting hired on the spot from Build My Future to companies. So an Alma school teacher sent me a message. We sent a survey out after the event. And this Alma school teacher said one of her kids came up and was so excited because her student come up to her and says, I can't remember that. And I apologize to that teacher, but it said, hey, I just got a job offer on the spot. Now I'm seeing the very first year we did it, there's a gentleman that worked for Flintco. He was actually one of our volunteers that he goes to school with Ignite up in Bentonville. He was one of our helpers. He has been at the event the last 3 years helping Flintco because he works for Flintco now. He's been coming to the event and helping. And it's really nice to bring the apprentices and the younger ones that have been through Build My Future or just graduated to talk to these students that are coming up and coming, you know, might be a senior, junior, whatever, and being able to relate. And we at Multicraft will take several of our apprentices and have them go over there and they're building a panel or something and talking and getting them excited, engaging with them. So they're seeing the same age. They're seeing that, hey, I can do that. But every year I keep getting more and more teachers and students talking about getting a job offer, changing their thought pattern of where they were going to go. Now they're going to they're going to be a plumber or they're going to be an electrician. It's overwhelming. I could go on and I got some testimonials that I could read, but it'd take a little while because every year we're trying to ask for those, but it's amazing. And that is the biggest reward that we get for doing this event. It's not about, you know, Multicraft or the council, whoever putting it on. It's about seeing those kids smiling while they're on a piece of equipment or swinging a hammer or something like that and being able to have a conversation rather than using this phone and text.
Yeah.
they're actually talking and engaging. And that's one of the things we do in the orientation before they go out and talk to all the vendors. We tell them, say, make sure go up and ask if you're going to go up and do an event or do a project at Build My Future, go up and ask that person that you're working, ask that contractor, do you have any extra PPE that I need to do the tasks that you're going to have me do? We have them engage and talk, because that's one thing we're getting not as good at, is actually having conversations.
Yeah. Communication is key. I mean, that's the one area that I think young people certainly struggle with. And it's, you know, and obviously me with three boys, three young men, 20, 18, and 15, I'm constantly explaining to them the importance of eye contact, about looking people in their eyes and, you know, firm handshakes, and then really speaking to somebody, you know, and that is, I think, one of the challenges, that if you can kind of bridge that gap so you can get them excited about the potential for a career, and then at the same time, help them develop themselves as individuals with that aspect of communication and the importance of it and how to be an effective communicator. Because we get it. Everybody's not going to, you know, get up on a stage or anything like that. But you still, whether you're on a job site or dealing with a client, you're going to have to eventually have a conversation with somebody. And this is a great opportunity for kids to kind of get out of their shell and get out of their comfort zone a little bit and stretch themselves, right? And so that, I think that's why programs like Build My Future are so important, because it does give the kids a chance to get uncomfortable a little bit as they figure out what they want to do with their lives. So I'm going to put you on the spot and tell you that if you can find one of those testimonials before we close out this podcast, I'll certainly create time for you to share one of those, because I'm sure those are some good stories. But I do have some other questions for you both. I'm curious to know, what are you hearing in terms of how schools and educators are incorporating this Build My Future experience into their broader career readiness strategies, right? Because that's like the question that we're constantly asking. Are we fully equipping our young people when they leave high school to be ready to enter the world? Some are better equipped than others, right? But I mean, I'm just curious to know, what are you hearing from the schools and educators with regard to incorporating this experience into the broader career readiness strategies? Joe, you want to talk about that? Or
yeah, let's start broad, and then we can kind of really zero in on it. But really, if you look at our schools across the region, they're really doubling down on trying to build career awareness early. They're not waiting until kids get into junior high. They're starting this in elementary now, because you have to think, awareness is such a multifaceted word. You can hear about something, you can even see a picture of it, but do you really know anything about it until you've had time to really do a deep dive on what does that look like? So kudos to our school districts for starting that much earlier so that kids can make informed decisions when they do get into high school about what kind of CTE classes, what kind of career path do they want. But it's more than that. You're seeing high schools now adding true classes to their schedules that talk about college and career readiness, soft skill development, that communication piece. Can they stand and have informed, articulate conversations, communications with each other? Can they defend a point or a position in that soft skill context? That matters so much. But we're also seeing additional career events popping up even at the school levels, which are fantastic, because you cannot build enough awareness with our kids. You know, in a time and place where we're all glued to that technology that's in our hand, what are we doing to make sure that we're telling a really strong career message with all forms of communication, face-to-face, industry engagement in our schools, speakers, internships, apprenticeships, connectivity events like Build My Future? Can we really flood the market with that message of, we have strong careers here for you. We have adults who are willing to help train you. We have resources that can put you through training, through apprenticeships, if you don't have the ability to do so. And then can we ultimately help build a career path for you that's not only personalized for what you want to do, but it connects you with employers at the end who are ready to receive you. So you're seeing our schools really ramping up the career awareness and engagement piece. Hopefully they can bring students to culminating events just like Build My Future that really drive the message home and make employer connections for them so that it's a seamless transition.
Yeah. Steve, you want to add anything to that?
Yes, I would. Actually, and hats off to the schools because the schools are doing a great job. I get probably 10 to 15 tours throughout the year of the schools asking the CTE teachers, welding instructors, everybody asking, hey, can we come tour your facility? So they're bringing the students over to Multicraft. And I know they do this with a lot of different companies, but we take them through, we tour them and bring them through our fabrication shop, watching people weld. We take them through our electrical area where there might be building a panel, or our sheet metal shop where we're building ductwork. But they're taking the teachers in the schools are taking the time to reach out to the community to find out, okay, what do we need to be teaching to get them prepared for your workforce? What do we need to do to get them prepared to come to work for Multicraft or to come to work for any of the other companies in Northwest Arkansas? So they are actually doing their, and I absolutely love it, because they are coming to us and saying, what do we need to do to better prepare our students for the workforce, that for the ones that are not going to go on to college?
Yeah.
So absolutely love it.
And that's certainly, I mean, that's being really proactive about it, because then it starts to give kids hope that they can see a future and opportunities that exist, you know, especially in this area, especially with the things that you might be working on in the marketplace. Joe, I want to ask you, from a regional workforce development perspective, I know that Build My Future, how does that align with the goals of the NWA Council? I mean, workforce development is just one area of the council, but I would be curious to know, how is Build My Future aligning with the overall goals of the NWA Council?
Council works in several different work streams. You know, workforce, certainly near and dear to me, but you cannot have a conversation about workforce without also talking about a couple of the other streams that we have, and economic development would be the next logical fit. And I work a lot with companies who are looking to move to the area, and their first two questions, what kind of educational system do you have? How can that better suit our workforce needs? Because they can't move to an area if they don't have an acceptable talent pool to draw from.
Yeah.
The other conversation that inevitably comes forward is K-12, what kind of training do you have? Certainly, what kind of adult training and upskilling do you have in the area in order for us to move to the area? So workforce, economic development, and all of those really kind of gravitate toward overall quality of life here in Northwest Arkansas, which you can kind of tie up together. If you can move to an area, have a strong educational background for your kids or for your adults and family, so that you can move into a quality lane of employment, hopefully work on that economic mobility piece of your family, you can live that quality of life that ultimately you moved here for in the first place. That analogy of rising tides, if you have a quality talent pool, additional companies want to move to the area for the same reasons. We all are elevated because of it. So moving away from the traditional career fair of, I used to call those booths and business cards. You could also insert boring into a lot of those, because a lot of them tend to be.
Yeah.
It was like this build excitement around workforce preparation. They build something engaging. You put a student, whether they're 18 or whether they're 13 or whether they're 38, you put them behind the sticks of a mini excavator and say, okay, I want you to pick up this object and move it from A to B. And they all of a sudden realize, you know, this may be a career path that I could enjoy, because it's not as hard or not as difficult as I might have been led to believe once upon a time. This is something that I could really grow in. You just created a new pathway for a family.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the thing that's really cool about Northwest Arkansas, since we're kind of talking about the council and about this region, is that there are a number of facilities and locations around this area, specifically between Washington and Benton County, where young people can go. I mean, I'm thinking of the Center for Innovation at the Fayetteville Public Library, where you can go take a CDL class. You can, you know, there are some other heavy machinery operations that you can do in a simulator to kind of get yourself prepared and equipped that, you know, I'm thinking about, man, when I was growing up, none of that was available. And Northwest Arkansas, folks can like lean in and tap into all of these different resources that are here for the taking and here to use on a regular basis. And so, you know, I think people that are kind of on the sidelines or kind of, if you feel like you're on the outside, and I'm just talking to our audience, but if you feel like you're on the outside looking in and you just don't know where to start, there are a lot of opportunities. And I think the council, which is one of the reasons why I've partnered with them for so many years, does an amazing job of kind of setting the table. What Joe is doing through workforce development has done an amazing job to kind of set the table for what we want to see happen. We're not quite there yet. We're still, it's a work in progress. So we have to take the, what do they call it? The Kaizen approach, right? Where we're just consistent improvement every time we get better. So every time you guys do this program, Build My Future, each year, it just, you're trying to outdo the last year, right? And you're trying to have kids an even more intense experience when they come to these events.
Absolutely. And I, you know, Steve did a great job pointing out events like this don't happen without all of our industry participating, both financially and with their staff. I've got to make sure that I provide that same level of thank you to all of our training partners that we work with across the region. I mean, and if I leave one out, then certainly my apologies. But I know that we work closely with the university, the global campus. We also work with Northwest Arkansas Community College. We work with Northwest Technical Institute. We work with business and industry training. And then if you really drill down to it, there are a network of apprenticeship partners and academy partners that we also work with that just to paint the picture of so many roads to get to employment. And I know Steve can speak to this with his own personal experience. I believe, Steve, I believe you even have your own on-campus training academy for some of these high needs areas. I have to say, if you're looking for career information, open jobs, training opportunities, there's also a resource that the council is proud to provide to the region, and it's careersnwa.com. And that's up to date with Northwest Arkansas jobs. And we can connect you with any of these training partners and providers. And we'd love the chance to visit with you.
Yeah, we've run several career NWA job commercials on this podcast, and we've shared information about that. And we will continue to. I'll make sure that we put a link in the show notes to all of everything that you guys have mentioned and, or discussed today. We'll put a link in the show notes so this can be a real good resource for people, especially parents that have kids that are coming of age or kids that are showing an inclination towards wanting to get into the trades. There's so much data and information out there to take advantage of, and that, you know, these gentlemen are here on a regular basis, and they're not just waiting till the Build My Future event happens. Every day they are constantly beating the drum to let the community know what is available. Steve, did you want to add something to that?
Oh, no, I was just thinking about, like I said, Joe mentioned them, the trade partners that we have, just that, and they all come attend Build My Future, and they put a simulator, the welding simulators, they do all the different things. So can't say thank you enough to them. And just, you know, just, you get a lot of people listening to your podcast. I say, you know what, next year, all these contractors, any of you contractors that are listening right now, you bring it next year, and we'll just keep elevating this event every year and making it more to where the kids are really enjoying what they get to see.
Yeah. And there's always going to be room for new contractors to participate in the next event. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We really, honestly, the biggest thing about this is, it's like Joe said, it's not a business card handing out. We really don't want that. We encourage all of our vendors and contractors to bring something to get the next generation of workforce excited about our industry. And you're not going to do that just handing out flyers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I will ask you both, and this is a question that both of you can answer, but when you think about that, there's over 30 sponsors across various trades and sectors that participate in this program. What does that level of collaboration say about the Northwest Arkansas business community? I know what it says to me. I want to hear it from you guys, because I have never, and again, I've lived all over the world. People have heard me talk ad nauseum about my experiences in other markets and everything. I have never been in such a collaborative environment like Northwest Arkansas, period.
Well, I'll start. You know, I come from Nebraska, and I moved down here in 96. And when I moved down to Northwest Arkansas, I sold power tools and fasteners for a company here. And I learned right away that Northwest Arkansas was different. It was special. There's certain organizations out there that I've been members of, Associated Builders and Contractors, and we all worked together as a team, and we all pulled together. And I just wanted to, so last year, the number that we had for contractors and vendors at Build My Future was 70. We had 70 contractor firms. Now, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier today, to put this in perspective. Okay, so we had 70 contractors and vendors, and we had 1,800 students. It sounds like there's a lot of standing around, a lot of standing waiting in lines. But actually, several companies will do 5, 6, 7, 8 different, I'm trying to look for the word, different, they'll have 5 or 6 different hands-on activities for the kids to do. So that 70 contractors that we have, we typically will have close to 120 different things that these kids can do throughout the day. So when I'm putting this event together, I'm thinking, okay, 2,000 students. I do not want 50 people waiting in each line. It's going to get watered down real quick and people aren't going to enjoy it. So that's why we always try every year to keep adding more and more, because I don't want, the most I'd want is 6 to 8 waiting in line to do something. But the more popular events have the longer lines. That's just how it works. It's a competition between all of us contractors and vendors. Who's going to have the best booth?
Yeah. Well, and I think to me, that's a great problem to have, right? I mean, that's a problem that is solvable. That's a problem that has a solution just waiting for it. So I love that. Joe, you want to add something to that?
Sure, dude. And Steve's right. I mean, Northwest Arkansas, we know it. We love it. We live here. And there's a reason why we're here. And it, hands down, it's a very special place. But if you think about all the logistics that go into an event like this, the number of sponsors, the number of contributing groups, the number of booths that are set up, the amount of equipment that is donated for the day that we're out there, you can't do that just any. That speaks to the hunger of Northwest Arkansas and the willingness to be out there and be a part of the solution.
Yeah.
That's the kind of environment where events like this are going to succeed, because employers are now calling almost at the close of last year's event, already wanting to talk about next year. How do we get in? How do we make it better? If we weren't a part of it, can we be? That's the kind of environment where you're going to succeed, because the business community wants to be part. They want to be seen. They want to tell their story to this next wave of students coming out. That's how you build connectivity with kids. It's how you keep that awareness piece alive. It's how you grow excited for an event. It doesn't happen without that shared energy from the business community. And the amount of thanks that we have to give back to them is just unbelievable. Just so truly, thank you to each one for being a part of us.
Yeah, well, we definitely want to keep it going. And that's why we really want to promote programs like Build My Future on this podcast, and just in general, why the council is taking pains to really get the message out, right? Because we're still, you know, as quiet as it's kept, even with 2,000 students and X number of participating firms, it's still kind of like the best kept secret, right? There are people that just don't know about it, and we still have to get the word out. So we got to do what we can to do that.
Sure.
Yeah. What advice would you give to other regions or organizations looking to replicate this kind of career-connected learning? You know, what would you say to them?
It has to be done together. I've been to other regions where you'll see pop-up events that are they're owned by one entity rather than being a group collective effort. And as long as you have that mentality of together, you can build a really strong event. Outside of that, it's going to be a really strong uphill battle trying to put on an event like this. It's got to be done collectively.
Yeah. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, so one of our associations helps us every year with this, ABC, and they actually started, we had their second one this year down in Conway. So we have one in Northwest Arkansas now, and we have one in Conway. There's talk now about having one in Southwest Arkansas also down, but honestly, we're an open book to our blueprint, because the blueprint we have came from the one who started it. And we're all out for the same goal. And that's just to educate these kids and let them know that there are other avenues out there. So I noticed this year, the gentleman that runs the Build My Future out of Tulsa, he came to our event this year just to see how we run ours. Mm-hmm. And I think he was pretty impressed. And we do things, like I said, we go the extra mile. We do. I'm pretty proud of our event. I can't talk enough about it. But anybody that would like to do this, or they have relatives or contractors in another area and they want to look into this, they just need to reach out, because it's an open book. I mean, it's not a secret sauce. It's a sauce that whoever would like to participate in, we want to see them succeed.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where it really isn't a competition, specifically because in our country, we need programs like this cropping up in every community, because we are woefully behind the eight ball when it comes to attracting a new generation of talent into the trades. And we need to help them understand that there are a lot of options that they can have. And, you know, I even tell my kids, and I don't know where you guys sit on this, but, you know, young people coming up today, you know, the Gen Ys of the world, they're going to have multiple jobs and multiple careers over the course of their lives. Whereas like for us, you know, maybe we had a handful of jobs or careers, but, you know, my youngest, my 15-year-old, he's going to probably have multiple careers and jobs, you know, over the next 40 or 50 years. And I think that's why programs like Build My Future are so important, to get them early and help them to start to seeing the different options that might be available. Because even my son, my middle son, and I keep talking about my kids, but, you know, one, he started out thinking, oh, well, I want to do construction, but then he has an affinity for electricity. And so he's looking at being an electrician. That's one of his options. So he's looking at, there are a lot of different options out there. And we want to give these young people plenty of runway and opportunities to kind of test themselves out and see what's the best path for them, because no two paths are the same.
You know, I want to add to that. Don't let the dangerous word of perception sway your outlook on what kind of job might be right for you. Steve, I think you and I talked about this even at last year's event. We had some students come through that I talked to him in one of the lines, and he said, you know, I really thought I wanted to get into computer engineering, game development, things like that. He was really into the whole video game scene. Well, there was a booth there where they were actually doing digital layouts of buildings and site mapping, things like that. He didn't even understand that those skills that he had were a direct transferable skill into this line of work. After he went through the line, he came back. I said, man, I've never even thought about this before, but I love it. So Don't let perception about a career field make up your mind before you really build a true awareness about what kind of options are there.
Yeah. Steve, you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we talk about the teachers and the kids coming into the trade. Well, the one thing that not everybody understands and knows, but like if you come to work as an electrician or a plumber, and I'm going to use those two examples because those are the two that have apprenticeships behind them. But, you know, the students can come to work for Multicraft as an apprentice electrician or apprentice plumber. They work 40 hours a week and they go to school in the evenings and their school is paid for. They don't have debt when they're done with their 4 years of apprenticeship school because it was paid for by the company. So they're working 40 hours. They're going to be able to go out and buy that big diesel truck that they want. They're going to go be able to go get a house.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not saying there's something wrong with college, because college is right for a lot of people. But for them to be able to work 40 hours a week, go to school in the evening and have it paid for.
Yeah.
It's a great roadmap for a lot of people.
You can't beat that. Is that information on the Multicraft website for people to learn more about that? Or will you be able to give me a link so I could share that on the show notes?
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's some of the ones that Joe talked about, like ACE, Arkansas College of Electricity. That's where they can go to the apprenticeship programs. And then I'm trying to think of the apprenticeship schools for plumbing, because some of our plumbers are actually instructors for the Plumbing Association of Arkansas. So yes, but it is on our website, and that's how, whenever anybody comes to work for Multicraft, they want to be an electrician, they have to register it as an apprentice.
Sure.
And that's whether it's us or Mars Electric or Bill's Electric or any of them, they all have to be registered in an apprentice class.
Okay. Okay. Well, I love that. Well, I think that's helpful information for people to have, because then that's another way to encourage it. Because I think for some people, it's the idea that, you know, oh man, the impediment for some young people is I don't have the money to pay to go through this program or get that training, you know, and that's why we want to try to remove as many barriers as we can, these objections, so that they can get beyond that and say, okay, I can actually do this. So, you know, yeah, it's definitely a possibility. So, all right, with all this being said, and you guys have really kind of shared a lot, as we kind of wrap this up, I want to ask, from your perspectives, both you, Steve, and you, Joe, how can local residents, businesses, or even parents get involved in supporting or expanding Build My Future NWA? I'm a parent. I'm helping expand Build My Future NWA by doing this podcast. But there are other ways that parents can get involved, that local residents can get involved, and businesses too. So, you know, I would love for you guys maybe to share a thought or two around that.
So again, I'll start broad, and then Steve, you can kind of wrap it up with specifics to Build My Future. But again, if you're a parent wanting to build awareness about all these events, about apprenticeship, about different opportunities to get into a career for either your child or even for yourself, it's never too late to start a new path. Take a look at careersnwa.com. Links to all of our state apprenticeship providers are there. Links to all of our regional training providers are there. And we also have a link to Build My Future NWA, which has an informational website. But one of the biggest things you can do is keep the conversation alive at home with your kids. Don't let that perception eliminate jobs before you really have a good understanding about what they are. And then come out and be a part of these hands-on events so that you can have an informed conversation at home.
Yeah. Steve?
Well, I'll say for the parents, we all want our kids to succeed. We all, you know, it used to be that, you know, you're going to succeed if you go to college. Well, that's not the case. Understand that the skilled trades is a very good path for a lot of people. And, you know, there is the construction industry does involve engineering too, which you do have to go to school for. But talk to your kids about and understand what the construction, the skilled trades is when you're talking to your kids. Don't think it's just that knuckle busting, back breaking stuff again. It's a skilled trade. It's exactly what it's called, a skilled trade. It's just like being a doctor or a lawyer. I mean, you have to have the skills to become a journeyman plumber, or a journeyman electrician, or a journeyman sheet metal person. And a lot of times it takes 4 years to do that, 4 years of apprenticeship. So don't lead your kids down a path that they don't want to go.
Yeah.
In the community, you know, if you have a husband or a wife that's working in the trades and you want to understand what Build My Future is, look into it. See our website, buildmyfuturenwa.com. You can get registered as a contractor vendor. We invite anybody to come to our event to see. We just want to know who's there, obviously. We want to keep it safe for the students. But come and see what we're all about. Next year, it's April 2nd. It's on a Tuesday at Rogers. It's at the Rogers Convention Center at the embassy. Come up there and see what it's all about. We don't mind people coming in and looking and seeing. We're going to, just to add on to what you're saying about the parents and stuff, we're trying to make this work eventually. It's just a lot of extra time for our contractors, but we'd like to have the first night open to where parents can come and see what their kids are going to be introduced to the next day.
Yeah.
We haven't got that far yet, but we're working every year. We're just trying to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you guys are doing a great job. And if past is any indication of what the future looks like, I think it's very bright for both of you guys. So you should both be wearing sunglasses right now with the work that you're putting in to engaging and encouraging the workforce of Northwest Arkansas to continue growing. So Joe, Steve, I want to thank you guys both so much for joining us on the podcast today to share a little bit about Build My Future NWA.
Thank you for letting us, and because we love it. We absolutely love it and live it. So yeah. Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks, Randy.
Absolutely. Now, don't think I forgot, Steve. I know I put you on the spot and said, if you have a testimony that you can share, you're free to share it. Do you have one that you want to share real quick?
I do. I got a couple. Joe Young from Main Street Academy. I'm calling him out. He said, hands down, this is the best event I've ever brought my students to. Thank you. It was a great event. Every year we meet quality young people and end up hiring people from this event. That was from Kent Rogers from Mars Electric. I want to get one from this. One more. Last year, one of our students walked away with a job interview and was ultimately chosen out of many applicants for a job with one of the companies that was there. And that was from Sarah Higgins from the Rogers Public Schools. I mean, those are just three of them that I have.
Yeah,
on our website.
I love that. I love hearing stories like that. Now, and I also, I lied. I actually have one more question for you guys, because as I'm listening to what you're sharing and the stories that you've been telling about the young people, I would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the elephant in the room. And that elephant in the room is artificial intelligence, which is going to create some havoc in certain careers and in certain verticals and industries. I'm curious to know, has there been a discussion from a workforce development standpoint for those that are looking for their second career? So maybe a 35-year-old or even a 40-year-old or older that says, you know what, I want to get into the trades. Is that a thing? Is that something that you've even encountered, Steve? I'm just curious, especially with your experience at Multicraft.
Well, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a gentleman from Crossland the other day. And
Crossland Construction.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He said, we're starting to use AI every day. He says, it's really helping us shape the way we do things now. So I'm not really scared of AI. I think it's going to actually help. I found myself using it a little bit more now. And that's crazy for me being old timer. I mean, I still don't like to text. I'd rather call.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to end up being a blessing in disguise, and it's going to help a lot of people, because we've got to get quicker. We've got to get better at what we're doing. And I mean, obviously I'm still going to doubt it, and I'll probably do a fact check on what AI says, but if that's what you were asking, I think
I think that's part of it. The other part is just, have you run into any 40 or 45 year olds that are like, I want to switch careers and I want to get into the trades, right? Because I think we always think in our minds, like the trades is for young guys or gals that want to start out in that career. But I think with a lot of different opportunities that are going to present themselves, because AI is actually going to push people out of certain career paths, right? You know what I'm saying? So like, So, I mean, what does that look like for somebody that's a 40-year-old that's coming off of a job that they just worked on for the last 15 years? And, you know, AI has, you know, honestly has kind of rendered their job pointless, because it can do most of what they were doing anyway. And they're thinking, you know what, I want to switch gears and get into this because there's more opportunity here.
I've seen some, so I take care of our website too, and I get all of our marketing whenever something comes in through our website. And I'm starting to see some of the 30s and 40-year-old people come in and want to apply. And they've actually said that, I've been doing this. I was a banker. I want to come in and start doing some other things. And I don't discourage any of them. And I think they're a little worried about it, but I don't think there's any reason to be, because now they're going to have to go, like for an electrician or plumber, they're going to have to go to that school just like the younger ones are.
Yeah.
But I would be willing to bet anything that you could go to some of these apprenticeship classes that they're going on in the meeting, and you're going to see a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds, but I'll bet you're going to see a handful of 30 and 40s in there also. So I would encourage those people to come into the trades.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, what do you want to say to that?
I can jump right in on that conversation, because there's evidence of that happening in Northwest Arkansas. And if you use the term non-traditional apprenticeship, it kind of speaks right to the heart of what you're getting at. So that understanding that apprenticeships, skilled trades in particular, being for the young and strong of back, we're seeing some changes in that. And yes, I think AI is starting to shift some of those careers. It has people looking for a new career. Don't let age be a detractor for you, because apprenticeship still works. We can help partner you, mentor you, pair you again with somebody who's of a comfortable age for you to work with, to learn the skills. And again, a kudos even to some of our training providers who understand the shift in what training needs to look like. They're adding additional evening training programs, giving you some flexibility to work by day, train by night, because they understand you still have a family, you need a job, you need to put food on the table. So don't let age be a deterrent. If you're interested in a new career pathway, especially in the skilled trades, we've got an option for you. And there's a website that I would guide you to called apprenticely.org. They're a partner with us that has been at all of our Build My Future events. They are the state providing partner for apprenticeship development. And there is a very specific category for non-traditional apprenticeships, which encompasses that second career kind of audience. So there is an option in funding to help.
I love that. Yeah. And we'll make sure we put all of that in the show notes. I think that was really valuable. But Joe Rollins, Steve Turner, thank you guys both so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Randy.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yep. What we've heard today isn't just about one event. It's about laying the foundation for a stronger, more skilled Northwest Arkansas. Build My Future NWA is showing students that success comes in many forms, and the skilled trades offer real, rewarding paths forward. A huge thank you and shout out to Joe Rollins and Steve Turner for leading the charge and helping connect the classroom to the job site. If you want to learn more, get involved, or support this incredible effort, please visit www.buildmyfuture-nwa.com. NWA.com. That's Build My Future and the dash NWA.com. The next generation of builders, welders, electricians, and problem solvers is already taking shape, and you can be a part of it. I'm Randy Wilburn, the host of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast, and we'll see you back here next week with another new episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.